All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. All right, I read this about 100 times, this paragraph, and I thought, there's got to be something here. And I kept looking, and I read it 15, 20 times. And I finally saw what I think is the reason that it's here, that Luke included this in the story. Or at least I hope that this is it. So let me read, starting in verse 1, let me read the story here, at least down to verse, let's say 10, all right? So beginning in verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. All right, now that that's Timothy. All right, Timothy. There are two books that Paul wrote to this young man. His name was Timothy. And he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and a believer, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So it's talking about Timothy was well reported of. In other words, folks had good things to say about him. Verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? They increased in numbers daily. That's great, I think. It's the way it ought to be. Verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden. Notice that. Forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed, the word essayed, you and I would say they desired, they wanted. All right? We don't use the word essayed today, but that means they desired to go, they wanted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. So here's twice that the Holy Spirit intervened and directed Paul and the group where the Spirit wanted them to go, not necessarily where they wanted to go. All right? So notice that. I'm going to deal with that extensively here in just a few minutes. All right? And so verse 8, and they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. All right, let's pray. And I'm going to entitle our study tonight, The Leading of the Holy Spirit. The Leading of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we look at these verses. We are so very thankful that we have a Bible. And Father, we know that it is the inspired, infallible word of the living God. And so as we study even this historical book, the book of Acts, we can be assured that there are lessons and there are things that you want us to understand that we can then apply to our own lives. And so, Father, I pray you'll bless as we bring some of those things out tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. The 16th chapter is just packed with activity. There is a lot going on. You look at verse 14, and there is the story of Lydia, the seller of purple in the city of Thyatira. And Paul and the gang led her to the Lord. And then that created all kinds of problems because the men in the town that were benefiting from her work, they didn't like it because she was no longer going to be doing what she was supposed to do for them. All right, and so then you see that they got arrested for preaching, for leading folks to the Lord down there by the river where they met Lydia, and that's in verse 22 and 23, and they beat them up in verse 23, put them in prison, and then you'll remember that at midnight they were singing songs and praising God while they were bleeding and while they were in stocks. And the Lord knocked the building down where they were. All right, so that ended up seeing the Philippian jailer get saved. And so it's just amazing here, all the things that are in this chapter. And but I want us to start with the way Luke starts this chapter, because in this chapter we see something that we have not seen before. We've seen it, but it's kind of been hidden from us. Here in chapter 16 is really the first time that what I want to point out to you tonight is emphasized. This is really the first time that this is emphasized by Luke. We know it's there, and what I'm talking about is the leading of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Spirit led in from the beginning, from the day of Pentecost on. We know that, but this is the first time where we see Luke point out to us the involvement of the Holy Spirit in the work that these men were doing. All right? So that's what we're going to focus on here in just a few minutes. But let me work my way down to that by giving you a few things at the beginning here. You'll remember, look at the last verse of chapter 15, all right? So you'll remember that they Barnabas and Paul split. Remember that? They split. They got into it over John Mark, and their contention was of such a strong nature that they parted ways. Barnabas was not going to bend, and Paul was not going to bend. And so they parted ways. and went their separate ways. All right, so you look down at verse 39, and Barnabas and Mark went back to the island of Cyprus, just off the coast of Syria. And Paul took Silas, and they went to the churches throughout Syria. That's where they were, in Antioch in Syria. And then they went north into Cilicia and confirming the churches. So in other words, getting them grounded, getting them doctrinally taught, getting them to understand the things of the Lord. So probably this took a couple of years, probably a couple of years transpire between verse 41 and verse 1 of chapter 16. Now, again, I've pointed this out to you several times, but this is not all just a running story, and it's all happening just one day after the other. No, it would have taken time for them to get from this place to that place, all right? You just don't hop on a plane and fly over there. You don't get on the train and, you know, the bullet train and get there. So it would have taken time. And there are a lot of folks that think that from, you know, where 5 years, maybe even more, that transpired during all this time. So Paul goes north to Cilicia after comforting the churches in Syria. And in Cilicia, that was a region. Now, I'll tell you which ones are regions and which ones are cities. It's kind of confusing. But they went to this little section of southern Turkey that was called by the Romans. And remember, this is the Roman Empire that we're talking about. There was no Turkey back then. It was the Roman Empire. All right, but it's today what is Turkey. That is a massive country, by the way. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but it's a huge country. And Cilicia was just the little bottom part of it where the city of Tarsus is. All right, Tarsus was there. And that's where Paul was born, remember. And so Paul spent a couple of years in Tarsus after he left Jerusalem, you remember. He went down to Jerusalem because the apostles wanted, the disciples wanted to meet him, and they wanted to talk to him, wanted to make sure he was legitimate. And so he went down and talked to him, and then went and witnessed to the men that had stoned Stephen to death. All right, so Paul went back down and preached to them. And then when he left there, he went back to Tarsus. That was his home. Now, some folks say he went back to take care of his aged parents, you know, but that's just theory. Nobody knows for sure. But he went back to Tarsus, and he was there for an extended period of time. So this would have been when Paul started the church that was in Tarsus, where now in chapter 16, he's going back to that church and to confirm the church that was started. Now, from there, he then went through the mountains westward into the cities of Derbe and Lystra. Those were two little cities that were side by side, separated by a mountain. And you'll remember that it was at Lystra where the Jews revolted against him and they stoned him to death. All right? They stoned him to death. And that took place in the city of Lystra. But God raised him up. Remember that? So it's hard to figure out the time spans in all of this, but most folks believe that it was probably about 5 years, that probably 5 years had passed between him and Barnabas going the first time, and he and Silas going the second time. All right, so he went through Derbe and he went through Lystra. Now, just think about this place for a moment and think about what happens here. Look at your Bible in verse 1 of chapter 16. All right, verse 1 of chapter 16. What do we learn happened in Lystra? Now, don't forget, that's where Paul was stoned to death. That's where Paul died. And God brought him back to life. All right? Look at me. It's important that you understand this. Nod your head. You understand that? Paul died here. He was stoned to death. We think stoning is they took these little rocks, you know, put you up against the wall and throw these little rocks at you. No. No, no, no. They put you in a dugout spot, usually along the wall of the city. They didn't want you to die in the city. They put you in a hole, made you go into a hole, into a pit, and then they took boulders and held them over their heads and hurled them down on you. These were not little rocks. These are boulders big enough that a man can hold it over his head and hurl it down upon the victim. That's how they stoned people. It's an awful, awful way to die. And Paul was stoned to death. All right, that was in Lystra. Now, in chapter 16, verse 1, they're in Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. All right, now, no doubt, when Paul got to Lystra, it all came, no doubt, rushing back upon him. Lystra was the place of the stones in Paul's life. And no doubt Paul still bore the scars from the brutal punishment that those evil-hearted Jews piled upon him. But at Lystra, this time, something wonderful happened to Paul. He was not stoned like he was the first time by these Jews, but instead, when he got there, I don't know if it was the impact of the influence of the church that had settled the city down. I it doesn't go into it and explain it to us. But when Paul got here again in this chapter, some 5 years since his last trip there, Paul found a man that God, no doubt, sent to him, who would become a great friend and a confidant. And he found this young man whose name was Timothy. And Timothy is going to connect with Paul here, and he's going to stay with Paul through the rest of the book, although he's not always mentioned, but he's there. All right, so when did Timothy get saved? Well, we do not know for sure, but it is entirely possible that he got saved during Paul and Barnabas's previous trip 5 years earlier. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, when Paul was a young man, when Paul first got saved, he witnessed in Jerusalem the stoning of Stephen. And you remember, he never got over that. That's why he went back to Jerusalem to meet the apostles, was primarily so he could go and witness to the men whose coats he held while they stoned Stephen to death. And I dare say that he never got over that. Paul heard the dying prayer that Stephen prayed. Paul heard. Think about it. You remember Luke says, when he's telling Stephen's story, Luke says that Stephen had the face of an angel. Remember that? And Paul saw that face. Paul witnessed Stephen's death. Actually, he held the coats for the man for the men who threw the stones. And Paul heard everything. He looked into Stephen's face and he saw his face. That even in this unbelievable brutality against him, looked to Paul like the face of an angel. He could never forget that when he came to Lystra. Don't you think? I mean, that's where he got stoned. And no doubt when he walked into town, his mind flashed back to Stephen and he realized how wrong he had been in sanctioning Stephen's death. So think of this. What if there was another young man who witnessed the stones being hurled at Paul, just like Paul witnessed the stones being hurled at Stephen? What if there was a young man, whose name was Timothy, by the way, what if there was a young man in Lystra whose name was Timothy, who 5 years earlier had watched as those ranting Jews took stones and murdered the Apostle Paul? I wonder, could that have been the impact? Could that have been the thing that gripped his heart when he saw that? I would not be surprised to get to heaven and to find out that Timothy was a witness to Paul's death by stoning and a witness to the fact that God raised him from the dead. Now, what do we know about this young man? What do we know about Timothy? Well, truth is, not a whole lot. We really don't know a whole lot. There's a couple of things said about him in our Bibles, but not a whole lot. We know from verse 1 that his mother was a Jewish gal, and his dad was of Greek nationality. And we have looked before, I've pointed out to you in the previous chapters, when in verse 8 of chapter 1, they were told to go into the uttermost parts of the earth and they wouldn't do it. They stayed in Jerusalem, all right? But Philip went out and Peter went out and ventured beyond Jerusalem. But the disciples, the apostles, they all stayed in Jerusalem. And so when we got to those chapters where Philip went out in evangelism and where Peter went out in evangelism, I pointed out to you that that there was a great cultural difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, a great cultural difference. And it was how it was difficult to merge the Gentile culture and the Hebrew culture together. And folks, we have seen that throughout the book. We have seen that in that the Jews wanted the Gentiles to become circumcised, to become Jewish, in right anyway, not actual Jewish, but obey the rite of circumcision. All right, so it would have been difficult, and I pointed that out to you. But Paul found in Timothy a man whose blood, in whose blood those two fires mingled. All right, so he's Jewish on his mother's side, which makes him Jewish. He's Jewish, but he is also Greek. He was raised in Lystra, a Greek city, not a Jewish city, but a Greek city. And so Paul, no doubt, found a man who knew a great deal, the Lord sent him a man who knew a great deal about both cultures, so he would have been very useful to Paul and to the Lord in the ministry. And from this moment on, Timothy would become a companion for Paul. And notice in verse 2, we are told that he was well reported on by the brethren. But again, notice that Paul found him in Lystra, in the place of the stones. Now, we know certain things about, about his service. We know that two of Paul's letters were addressed to him, and both letters are a discussion about the ministry and how the ministry ought to work. And 1st and 2nd Timothy. And we know that six of Paul's letters have Timothy associated with Paul as he is closing out the letter. For example, he would say, Mark sends you greetings and Timothy sends you greetings. Timothy is mentioned in six of Paul's letters as having been right there with Paul as he was writing the letter. So as Paul begins now his second missionary journey, Timothy goes with him. He goes with him all the way across what is today Turkey, right all the way across. And then he goes with him to Ephesus, and he goes with him into all the cities from here on. Timothy was at his side. Timothy was with Paul when he was put into prison the first time. And then in Rome, you remember, Paul writes and asks Timothy to come and be with him in his last days, in his old age. He wants Timothy to come when he was stuck in that cold, damp prison in Rome. So the point is, Timothy becomes a close associate of Paul. He calls him his son in the ministry. His son in the ministry. When I thought of that, that's when I thought about the fact that, Timothy could have seen Paul being stoned by those Jews in Lystra, just as Paul saw Stephen. As it impacted Paul, and he never got over it, it could very well have impacted Timothy, and Timothy never got over it. And that bonded him to Paul in a great way. All right, so just something to think about. It very well could have happened. All right, second thing I want you to see tonight, I want you to notice the influence of the Holy Spirit in this paragraph. In these first 10 verses or so, I want you to see the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, in the work of the ministry that these men had. We're told that Paul, look if you will at verse 6, we are told that Paul was forbidden to preach the gospel by the Holy Spirit. And then there were two places where Paul and his fellow co-workers were not allowed to go. Now, in the back of your Bible, you probably have some maps. Do you have maps in the back of your Bible? All right. Go to probably one of the last of the maps. It won't be the last one. It'll probably be the third from the last or the fourth from the last. But go to that one where it says the missionary journeys of Paul. All right. Do you see that? Do you have that in your Bible? You do? All right, good. All right, now, I want you to look down on the right-hand side, all the way down at the bottom of the page. Do you see Jerusalem? You see Jerusalem? Hello? Yes. All right? Then go due north. Go straight up. And you'll see Sidon. You'll see Byblos. Pastor Ray and I went to right by Byblos when we were over in Lebanon. These are cities in Lebanon, still there today. Sidon and Byblos. All right, now, why did they name it Byblos? Well, because they worked on the text there back in the first century. All right, now go on up to Antioch. Do you see Antioch? All right, that's Antioch of Syria. All right, now go on up to Tarsus. Just go up into Turkey. Now from Syria, go up into Turkey, and you'll see it goes left right along the coast, and there's Tarsus. See that? Hello? Okay. Now go from there over, and you see Derbe. You see that? All right. Then Lystra. Then Iconium. Now, what I want you to notice here, the text says that, and let me read it to you. You keep looking at your map, and let me read this to you. It says, now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, all right? So look at and find Phrygia. Do you see that? All right, look right to the left of Antioch in Pisidia. All right, Antioch in Pisidia, not the one in Syria, the one in Pisidia. Do you see it where it says Laodicea and Colossae? All right, and in red, it should say Phrygia. Do you see that? You don't see, some of you do and some of you don't. All right, do you see where the seven churches, there's Laodicea, there's Philadelphia, there's Smyrna, there's Sardis. You see all those? All right, so that's the seven churches of Revelation, okay, that Jesus showed John. All right, now, the red letters are the sections of the Roman Empire, like the counties, if you will. All right, the counties. All right, we here in Maryland, we have Carroll, and we have Baltimore, and we have Harford, and we have Cecil. All right, those are counties, and they're separated, and they all have a separate local government, but we all belong and are under the authority of the state of Maryland. All right, well, back under the Roman Empire, set up the same way, and you had all these names in red. All right, go over to the right, and you will see Cappadocia. All right, then down from there, you see Cilicia. Then to the left of that along the coast, you see Pamphylia. And then go up now and go all the way up to the north where the city of Istanbul still is today, where the separation between Europe and Asia. All right, you know where I'm talking about? All the way up at the top, just underneath the Black Sea. All right, now look to the right of that. It says Bithynia and Pontus. Okay, so they wanted to go into throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia. Do you see Galatia on there? All right, Galatia is right just above Iconium. All right, they wanted to go into Galatia, and the Holy Ghost forbade them to go and to preach the word in Asia. Asia does not mean the continent of Asia. It means the county, the city state of Asia, which you see just above Philadelphia and Pergamos. All of these seven cities are basically in Asia and Lydia, all right? Most of them, almost all of them. And so they wanted to go that far. Look in verse 7. You look at your map, and let me read it. After they were come, verse 7, to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Now, Bithynia is all the way up at the top. And they wanted to go to Bithynia. But, now go back to the text in verse 6 and 7. All right? Everybody see that? All right, I'm trying to help you here now, trying to get you to see a visual of where they were and let you see that Turkey is a huge country. They would not have traversed that in a couple of weeks. All right? So it's taking years to do this. And with each step of the way, Paul is getting older and older by the day. And not to mention the fact that he got severely crippled in that stoning. He had to have gotten crippled in that stoning. He was buried in stones and shoved his way out as God brought him back to life. You remember he talked about his thorn in the flesh. And a lot of people say, oh, well, it must have been his eyes because he said, see how large a letter I have written to you in Galatia. All right, so it must have been his eyes. Well, Josephus, who was the historian that wrote down everything, Josephus said that he saw and heard Paul preach. He heard him. He watched him. He saw him. And he described him as this little short guy who was all hunched over and had to preach with his head turned sideways because he could not straighten up and look at the people he was preaching to. Now, could that have been because he had a serious injury when he was stoned in Lystra? Probably. So it would not have been easy for him to do all this traveling. But they did it. And God gave him the strength to do it. Is that, you follow me? All right, now. So here they are, and notice, they're wanting to go this way, and they're wanting to go that way, but we are told that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, prevented them. So they ended up went into Mysia, and then they thought, well, we'll go up to Bithynia. But again, they were forbidden to go by the Spirit of God. Now, question: how would the Spirit have forbidden them? I don't think that the Holy Spirit would have appeared before them in some form. That would, if the Lord had, if there had been a vision and they saw the Lord, but it doesn't say the Lord told them, said the Holy Spirit told them. All right? So I don't think that anybody stood before them and said, Paul, don't go. No, I don't think that happened at all. You say, well, then how do you think it happened? Well, Paul does not go into detail, or Luke does not go into detail as to what the Lord did to stop them from going. But let me ask you, could one of them have gotten sick? Could one of them have gotten a fever? Could one of, you know, you couldn't run to Rite Aid and get antibiotics. So if you got sick, it knocked you down. You had to stop. And we simply don't know. But could one of them have gotten an illness that made it impossible for them to travel to the north? We don't know for sure. But I don't think that Paul woke up one morning and heard the Holy Spirit audibly speak to him and say, Paul, don't go to Asia. I think instead the Holy Spirit stopped them from going, and you can see the word forbidden in verse 6, and that indicates that whatever it was Paul understood that what forbade them was the Lord putting the brakes on their desire to go north. And then in the next verse, in verse 7, the same thing happened again as the Holy Spirit forbade them to even to go even further north into Bithynia. But notice, look at verse 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So they were forbidden in verse 6. They were forbidden in verse 7, but they are allowed, permitted in verse 8. Now, what's that show us? Well, that shows us that the Holy Spirit was running the show here. The Holy Spirit was directing them. I think the Holy Spirit was behind their steps. And he allowed them to go to Troas. So this was something new that is really for the first time introduced to us in this paragraph. We see the direct intervention of the Holy Spirit of God directing their steps. And when Paul has the Macedonian call in verse 8 and 9, Macedonia is a region in the northern part of Greece. So it's still a long ways off. A long ways off. And in verse 8 and 9, Paul had that vision of the man in Macedonia calling and saying, "Hey, you guys, come over here and help us." But here is what that call was all about. Troas, where Paul was when he received this vision, was a city in Asia, in the Asian side of the world. All right? On the continent of Asia. Turkey is Asia. And right there where Istanbul is, that going west, that's all Europe. So this really was a call. This was the Lord doing what he told the disciples to do in chapter 1, verse 8, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All right, so here they are now, still in Asia. Jerusalem's in Asia. Iconium's in Asia. Tarsus is in Asia. They're all over here. And now they get right to the coast, right to the edge. And this vision says a man from Europe, a man from Greece, a man from Macedonia, he says, "Hey guys, come over here. We need the gospel too." Now, let me stop right here and tell you that because Paul and the rest of them obeyed the Macedonian call, because they left the land that they knew and were familiar with, and because they went over into Europe, that gospel that they brought into Europe eventually made its way to Great Britain, and to Germany, and to Sweden, and to Finland, and to Spain. And eventually that gospel, when the pilgrims came over here, they brought that gospel with them, and they brought the Bible with them, and trusted in the God that their forefathers learned about from Paul. You see that? So that's why these 10 verses are so important. Man, I read this. I thought, "Oh man, what am I going to do? I'm going to skip this part." But then it just hit me. And I thought, yes, that's what we need to learn from this. And there's always something that you need to see. There's always something. Now, don't forget, folks, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Exactly right. And who are all these people in Europe? They're a bunch of Gentiles. All right? Bunch of Gentiles. You don't get any more Gentile than going into Greece and preaching the gospel there. But notice the Spirit led him where the Lord wanted him to preach. Some places were just fine for Paul and his compatriots to go into, but some places were not. Some you can go to, but some you cannot. But it wasn't Paul who made that decision. It was the Holy Spirit of God who made that decision for them. So why put this information in this paragraph? Why did Luke take the time to tell us this and to emphasize the influence and the work of the Holy Spirit in Paul's life and ministry? Well, I think it is here for us in 2019 to read and to stop and think about it and realize that this exact same Holy Spirit who spoke to them and led them and opened some doors and shut other doors, but they were obedient and they went where the Spirit led them to go, and they didn't go where the Spirit forbade them to go. Amen. And we're here today because of it. All right, you see that? I hope you do. You know, if Paul had chosen to go to Bithynia, he might have liked it there and stayed. You know? Because I understand Bithynia is a beautiful place. Huh? Yeah. Eventually. Yeah, 200 years later, but yeah. He might have gotten out of the will of God. We don't know. But because he did what the Lord wanted him to do, God used him in a great way. The Lord did not want him in Bithynia. The Lord wanted him in Troas. And in Troas, that's where he heard the Macedonian call. And he ended up going into Greece, preaching the gospel to those people. Hey, he went to the city of Athens and preached in Athens. Went down to the market, to the agora, and preached to the people in that city. Then he went to Corinth, and he started a church in Corinth. We studied the letter he wrote those folks last year. So a preacher of the past said, "He is the greatest of the victors who knows that God is on the field when he is most invisible." That's deep. All right, well, I hope that helps you. You see, the main point of this chapter is that we learn to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church.